Good evening, everyone. This is Radiance by Design, because you are, and I am. And I'm really looking forward to talking to you tonight. There's a lot going on the planet. And let me see, what can I say? You know, years ago, I wanted to do radio because I felt like media. I'm a school teacher. I was for at least 20 minutes way back when. But I found my natural joie de vivre and intuitive nature doesn't do well in the tightness of the system, at least the way it was way back then. But I remember watching my favorite class that I ever taught was grade fours. It was mostly boys, and it was the time that space thing was going on and rockets were going off. And those kids used to get up at three and four in the morning to watch the launches. And I loved these little boys who were sort of brilliant and scrappy and so on. But I used to get annoyed because they would sit glued to media, but there was no interaction. Deep in my heart, I went, we should be interacting with media and not just sucking it in and putting up with whatever's blasted at us. And even then, I questioned the whole thing about truth and influence and marketing. I didn't know how bad it was then. I think it's gotten even worse. But in any case, then when I grew up, one of my phases of growing up, because I think I've had about five or six incarnations already in this lifetime. So in one of my new incarnations, I was going, okay, well, I'm an intuitive. And I do a lot of energy work, and I get so darned excited about doing the energy work because people blast out of ways of being and kind of emerge into new ways of being because you know this. Change the energy, change the reality, and we can move out of some tremendous old pockets or patterns of energy that keep us running around as if our limitations are God's truth. And they're not really, they're just piles of energy running us like computers. And I know that, and you know that. So my dream was, okay, well, why don't I do this over the radio? Because then the energy will pour out. And people will be picking it up at home. So instead of, like, I remember the first movie I saw that really does a good job with this is The Little Buddha. And the radiance that comes off of that movie is tremendous. And I remember giggling and going, oh, wow, Little Buddha's doing it. Movies will do it. And already I was doing some radio on brokered radio down in Tucson. But I also, my biggest goal and intention was not only to talk to you and teach things, but was to make sure that we had empowerment coming out through the airwaves. Empowerment, lifting you through vibration or through the content or all of the above. And there weren't very many of us doing this sort of thing. In fact, I was on a radio station down in Tucson, and I wasn't treated very well. A lot of people in media apparently are competitive. Woohoo! In any case, I was on at 7 o'clock Sunday mornings for a whole year, and nobody really said much about it. So I kind of thought, well, I'm just, like Rod Stewart's song was, what I'm doing must be wrong. Pouring my heart out in a song. Anyway, I persevered and persevered and persevered. And then after a year, I stopped being on the radio. And I'd had callers and all kinds of things. I think I even told you this recently, including somebody who was in the process of dying, which made it a very interesting show. But I had no idea how many people were listening or if anybody was listening. I found out a whole year later that on the Arbitron ratings, I had the highest ratings of that radio station. And no one bothered to tell me until someone who was kind of an adjunct and knew about the Arbitron ratings told me a whole year later. So the long and the short of that was that it boosted my ego and my morale, but I was kind of confused as to why they wouldn't have told me. You'd think it would have been the manager's feather in his cap. But in any case, it doesn't matter. So then I went through a whole other series of radio things, including KNRY down in Monterey. And I did that for 5 years, every other Tuesday for 2 hours. And we had some pretty good feedback from that. And I know Marsha Morgan was doing that show in order to send positive information out there. She was doing it 5 mornings a week. And also, many of the people that came on, like with Paradigm Shifters or with this show, Radiance by Design, they were sending energy out there. They were absolutely radiant beings. And of course, the energy would just come out there. So then I got into BBS Radio and was working with Jackie Salvitti as well, whose energy is outrageous. And I wanted to do my own thing. I want to do some, and I'm about to change it. I'm not really sure what I'm going to do right now, but I'm going to change it again. But in any case, I noticed that everybody has a radio show. Everybody's got one. It's all over the place. We all have radio shows. And then I go, wow. First I went, oh, I feel like it's a glut on the market. Nobody needs me. And then I go, you know, I had this dream about sending energy, sending frequencies out through the radio. And look what we're doing. So many of us are lifting people, doing podcasts and so on. And there's a ton of really brilliant information coming out through radio on the internet. Also videos, Upworthy, all kinds of stuff that's out there. But to me, the radio is the most simple one. And it's global. And it's sending tremendous energies out all over the place. I love that. So I just wanted to honor tonight this wonderful wave of influences that's going out and impacting the collective. We don't know cause and effect or what the actual impact is, but you and I know that we can turn on our computers and tune in a whole bunch of two things: high frequency energy, energy that tickles you and gets you moving and grooving. And we can also interact. We can phone in, call in. We can be on the air with the host and hostess. We can explore. We can do research. We can Google things on the air and share the information right now. Thank you.
Leah, line 3.
Oh, okay. Thanks. With people all over the world. I call it global radio. Isn't that exciting? So that's my little preamble of reminding us all what on earth we're doing. And we've started off with Leah. And after that, we're going to do a kind of a meditation thing. Welcome to the show, Leah. How are you doing, you radiant being?
Oh, thank you. It's Aaliyah. You didn't get
it right. Aaliyah. Hi, honey. How are you?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk to you. I'm good. I'm really good.
Good.
The energy was really intense this last week. It was just super intense. This last weekend.
So, yeah, it has been cool. A lot, hasn't it?
Yeah. Somebody said, I think it was Denise Lefay, said that it was because it's the 100th anniversary of World War One, so there was a lot of, energy release, transmutation of, a lot of negative stuff, experiences, karma,
Well, that must be interacting very nicely with a lot of the bloodshed that's going on in places like, Iran and Syria and Palestine and, oh my goodness, Gaza.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people are sort of playing out the end of karma.
I hope that's what it is, eh? Because the war over there might have stopped, at least the Gaza one might be stopping now.
Mm-hmm.
And playing out the end of karma, I like that a lot. My guides keep saying we're doing that, I don't know.
I don't think everybody is, but
I think we have to intend to pick up our skirts and step out of that pothole, don't you think?
Well, I think if you're going to be any kind of energetic, conscious being, yeah. You're not stuck in that sort of wheel of karma, where the only way that you can experience empathy is to have an actual experience of whatever you just did to somebody else, end that. I think it's time,
Well, I think that the thing is that creating and designing our existence is a lot different than being run by the subconscious and old reactions, isn't it?
Well, particularly when a lot of that programming has not been natural to the human being. And so that programming needs to end so that we can realize who we really are. And, it's just not natural. It's not natural to be subjugated. It's not natural to be enslaved. It's not natural to be exploited. It's not natural to be violent, you know, unnaturally unconscious.
Yeah, but honey, you know what I think, and this is for everybody at home, I think it is natural to be in survival when you have not refined your existence well enough. You know what I mean? So it's like it's being in survival that has taught us to be so voracious in our aggressions and so on, isn't it? I mean, we're evolving.
Well,
what
that's because
says we are evolving out of that, and we're learning just even the use of energy and subtle forces like that, and talking about what the universe is bringing through and all that. All of that is releasing us from some of the edicts of the more primitive stuff, isn't it? Like you and I, we can create our reality. We don't have to react our reality, right? But that's evolutionary, I think.
Well, it's default programming, but it's, you know, one of the premises of what I'm writing is that it's not natural to us. So, you know, whether it is or not is another thing, but it's not actually
But yeah, I probably want to argue with you.
Yeah, we've been taught that reality system, that it's necessary to survive. So it's kind of like an agreement that we have.
Well, I think it's because we were a more primitive species than we're able to. I don't think we have to be that primitive anymore at all.
Yeah, yeah. Well, whether it's natural or not, that's true. You know,
yeah.
there's a point at which evolution is natural to evolve into a higher state of being.
Yeah,
without a doubt. You know. So however we get there, whatever we think whatever we think started that whole thing. I just realized when I realized that there's certain things that were not natural to me, whether they're natural to humans and, you know, the average person, I don't know. But there's certain things that I don't identify with as being natural to me. And so when I realized that, I was able to shed them.
Because that's great.
As long as I thought they were natural to me, I couldn't shed them. As long as I was on unconscious behavior, but what's natural to me is actually what I choose to be natural to me. So for me to say it's not natural for me to be, you know, to have hatred or jealousy, and so I can easily shed it. Much easier.
Well,
I
think that you might be way more evolved than a lot of people, because I think it's very natural to have those things. And I think it's part of the arsenal, A and B. When people have been hurt or abused or anything, they have a pattern which comes up, and they perceive through that pattern. I think that's a natural interaction with trauma and survival. And I think that
well,
is
natural.
The word natural,
natural,
I would say that is natural.
Yeah, it's natural to an unconscious being. But
or to somebody who's been damaged or hurt, you know.
Right, right. But the whole purpose of enlightenment is to assume the higher qualities of the higher self, of the, you know. And so the higher qualities of the higher self, those things are not natural.
Right.
So once one totally integrates the self, the lower self, the two lower selves, with the higher self, then that the lower self, you know, knee-jerk reactivity is no longer part of the self at all. Does that make sense?
I like that a lot. I pray that it's true. I pray that it's true on a massive level. I like that.
Yeah, well, I don't know on a massive level. I don't really identify a lot with, you know, the average person, because I haven't lived a very average life. But it, you know, and I don't have the same, you know, I came here.
Okay,
like,
so this reminds me of something.
What motivates people? Yeah.
Yeah, but this reminds me of something. This is for everybody at home as well. We said change the energy, change the reality. So you're saying I live in a different reality than that. And I choose to, because what I started to say is we can step out of karma, but we have to intend that, and we have to do that, and we have to slide, as you just said another way, we have to slide our focus to the higher end of humanity's drives and so on. I think we're saying the same thing, just using different roots to
it. Yeah, the whole purpose of enlightenment is to become fully conscious. Fully conscious means that everything is a choice. It's no longer reaction. once you move into the realm of choice, then you are and you're well on the path to personal enlightenment, not a social conditioning or a social agreement anymore.
So yeah, because you're choosing each step. Well, I hope when people call in, you'll all have some feedback on what you think enlightenment is and how you perceive it and how it's impacting your life. And Aaliyah, tell people the name of your book.
The name of the book is Unplugged from the Matrix. And It's out right now on Kindle. It's out also on my website, infiniteshift.wordpress.com, which is a WordPress blog. Infinite Shift. Not Infinite Shit, but Infinite Shift. WordPress.com. And it's also on Parallel Minds. It's a little hidden right now because I haven't decided to, you know, how to take that forward. But it's out. Right now I'm going back over it and sort of, you know, correcting a few minor things. And so it'll be, every time I do this, I republish it. But I'm also planning on putting it out in a printed version on Amazon. So that will be accessible to people as well. Yeah.
Good for you. Well, thank you for your call and for starting us off with a nice, evocative, provocative, mind-chewing, wonderful thing.
That's fun, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I love to...
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, I love to explore these things. But I do know this, that as we choose our energy, the fact that you've lived a different life than a lot of people, all of that has such a gift for other people, and that's something we need to really revere in life, too. You know, what we radiate out there can really make a difference.
I know things change all the time. Do you get anything on the book? Because I don't know anything about how it's going to go forward or if it's going
to be. Well, I'd like to talk about that after, because we've spent quite a bit of time and I want to get on with the rest of the show and bring in some other people.
Cool.
Okay.
Well, thank
all
you
right,
so
honey.
Much for your show.
And I'm proud of you. So keep going. All right. So this is Veronica, and one of the things I wanted to talk about, and is Aaliyah brought up a wonderful subject. She's using the word normal. And before I got on this, I was channeling and talking to the guides about fear, for example. Now, taking Aaliyah's word normal, and I'm going to drop it into some different vats of thought and feeling. And I want to take that word fear because I think fear is normal. Now, maybe we're going to move out of it when we can be super adept and confident, enlightened enough and awake enough to, instead of being motivated by fear or instead of protecting ourselves through fear, we just know that we can create beyond whatever the situation is. But it seems to me in my world that that's not prevalent yet. Not everybody has figured out a way to not feel fear, right? So I want to say this. Let's start off with a little exercise. And I want it to be an energy exercise. Because, for example, I was doing a session today, a wonderful, wonderful woman. And all my clients, I'm in love with all my clients. I can't help it. You're also amazing. But in any case, as she wanted specific, she was unhappy about a particular situation. She wanted specific changes, specific outcomes or predictions about them. And anybody who's known me for these last so many years, you know I always say the same thing. It's like, I don't believe in predictions. If predictions can hold, that means we can't create our reality. It means it's already decided. And a lot of the Oneness Blessings people believe that a certain amount of it is already decided. And I guess that's a whole other long discussion. Anyway, let's go back into fear. Because I wanted each of us to go in and feel, wrap yourselves in light. And I want us to feel fear, because as I started to say, I was doing this reading for this wonderful woman who wanted some predictions. But as we changed what was inside of her, as we changed her resentment, her holding back away from the melee at work in order to keep herself safe from all that, and be inside. Have you ever done this? You go inside yourself and you're maybe I want to say feeling resentful or feeling held back, feeling a bit cool about whatever's going on, being a little suspicious watching. She was doing a lot of that. And so as we moved the energy, as we got her to sort of awaken into what she was doing, and the awakening was this process, just feeling where it is in her body, saying, okay, look at your neck, look at your chest, look at your jawline, look at the back of your head, things like that, you know. So we were choosing her particular style of holding back. And when she was a little kid, she had a family that paid no attention to her. She was always really isolated from the action. And she had a horse, and she had dogs, and she was in a farm, and so she was out there in nature and sorting life with that. But in truth, as far as being an emotional person goes, she was always in a state of isolation. So here she is at this job situation where people are kind of, the autocratic leadership is not acknowledging what the employees need. Ha ha ha. Any of you ever experienced that? And so what she's doing is she's going into that state of isolation that she had as a small, I've known her for a long time, and that's the place that she goes, her default position that she patterned in her brain and her subconscious and her cells and all that stuff when she was tiny. So we were able, as we talked, to bring it up and to really palpate it, really feel where it was and which parts of her body and move it around. And it's funny, her, and I've seen this in other people too, not identical because no two people are the same. The human variable does escape categorization or replication, I suppose is a better way to put it. Anyway, as she moved all this and started to, she moved it by recognizing her isolation. She didn't really want to isolate. She wanted to shine. She wanted to give. She wanted to produce. She wanted to. So as we moved all that, it was stunningly fascinating to me because I'd like to have a video invented that would go inside my mind and shoot the visions that come up because they were so beautiful. So anyway, I see her predictions coming up and changing as she changed inside. The predictions were more and more expanded. And ultimately, and you know this, but this was such a nice visual. Ultimately, as she radiated higher and higher, as it went right up through her body, and she was radiating at a higher and higher level, and it went all the way up through her body, we could call it her charisma. And there was a lot of like red and orange and pink and white and yellow. A lot of different fire colors were rising up. And before that, there had been a lot of like blue, but a lot of holding in colors. Do you know what I mean? So her colors were changing. Her charisma was growing. And the predictions showed that she would suddenly, or maybe not suddenly, but soon, be recognized by a man who was in authority. And she would be being given a certain amount of authority, and her job will change. She'll have a little more autonomy and a little more authority. Now, that prediction did not unfold until she had gone through a huge process of releasing the energy fields that had been held back inside of herself for protection. And I thought, what a brilliant teaching tool. And I hope, I don't think she's listening because she gets up at the crack of dawn, so she's gone to bed already. But I hope that she's continuing that. We'll see what happens when she goes to work tomorrow. So I thought, since we always do a meditation together, I thought, well, we'll do a thing on fear. And here's what I want, what I'd like you to do, if you'll all spend a few minutes with me preparing. And I would really like you to take a few deep breaths. Oh, let's do that first, and then we'll talk each other through this part. Two more. And now just relax into it. And now all of you have... maybe we'll pick something like money, okay? You all have some kind of fear around money, okay? So we're going to pick that one. Now, if you don't want to do this one, you pick the subject you want, but I'm making this as a global class, okay? So let's all respond to money. You could have a fear of not having enough, fear of it being limited, fear of some money being stolen, fear, you know, you pick the fear. I don't need to tell you. And I want you to pay attention to your body and really notice the fear that you have about money. Now, where is it in your body? Okay, where is it in your body? We could say it's supposed to be in the red chakra, but when we do this kind of work, don't limit it like that. Just let it be where it is. It can be in your nostrils. You know what I mean? Okay, there you go. There you go. Somebody's got it. Wow. A couple of you have heart. You must be having money problems because I can feel like heart going ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, right? Okay, and bring up all your fears. Somebody's got a kind of a headache, and somebody's got it right behind the eyes and then the head, probably the frontal lobe by the looks of it. Somebody else has got it in the neck and clenching your jaw. Okay, we're going to exaggerate it. Remember, this is so that it can move, not so that we're seeding more and more of it. There we are. Bring it up, bring it up, bring it up, bring it up, bring it up. Okay, and just keep noticing all the places in which you can find it. And exaggerate it. You can say that, oh, I'm exaggerating. I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I'm afraid. I want to feel my fear. I'm afraid. Yeah. There you are. Someone's actually afraid of money because of the damage it can do, she perceives, to between people, to people, of people, by people. That's it. And we don't have to explain it all. Just feel it in your body. Good. That's good. Just keep exaggerating. Somebody's got a huge lump of it right in the throat. So you're afraid to express it, I guess, eh? Okay, so now we're going to call in some absolutely amazing lights. Let's call in the great, I like the big bottle washers, but or the spiraling golden lights. How about that? And let's bring them up through the red chakra, through the base of your spine, the golden lights. And we're going to scour out, swish, 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 swish. Swish, 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 all the way up through your body. Good. Right up through your chest. That's it. Somebody's really stuck. How many of you got it? You can raise your hands. I'll see if I can see you. How many of you got it at the upper part of your chest and your throat? Yeah. And some of you have it at the base of the spine and in the lower part of the belly. Some of you have it in your feet. Somebody's got really weird, uncomfortable feet in the subject. Isn't that interesting? Okay, so now we're going to run that golden light up again. So start right at the feet, not just at the base of the spine.
Line one, line one.
Okay, thank you. If you just wait on line one just for a minute, I want to finish this scouring part so we're not all hanging out with a ton of fear in us. You don't have to be afraid, you see. You can feel the fear because the fear is information. That's all. So you bring it up and feel it, but it does have a huge impact on your outpicturing, on your manifestation. So I wanted you to go in and feel it so we can talk in a little while about manifestation. And I'm glad this person called in already because I want you to call in a lot and talk about this tonight. Not just fear of money, but just the whole idea of how we have dense feelings, which, as Aaliyah says, don't have to be normal. They have been normal. They don't have to be normal, and how we can use those to pole vault into a much greater manifestation ability. Hello, hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Veronica, it's Lisa.
Hi, Lisa, how you doing, kiddo?
How are you doing?
I'm having fun.
Oh, that's great. I'm doing good too, actually.
Okay. You know, I moved to LA, so we're probably neighbors, right?
Oh,
yeah.
Yay!
Yeah.
I'm going to have to come by.
You are. We'll have to meet in person.
Yeah.
But tell me what's going on with you. Are you rich now?
Oh, it's so much. No, not yet. I guess I have a twofold question.
Okay.
I wanted to recap with you about the axe. He finally moved, so that energy is gone. But it was a huge weekend for me when that happened because I had to deal with a lot of unresolved things energetically that I didn't know were stuck in there.
Oh, that's hard.
Yeah.
but you
I
did
dealt
it.
With it. Yes, I did. Yes,
did
I did.
Did you feel, when he was done, did you feel free?
When I finally have made peace, because my biggest issue with that whole thing was, oh, he didn't have to go through anything. And so, you know, I'm not going to complete this in my mind. And all that did was hold me back. But, you know, maybe he's supposed to marry this woman, and that's supposed to be his path, and that's what he's supposed to do. And
well, what do you mean he didn't go through anything?
Like he didn't, I don't know, I always have felt that what I went through in regards to him really was just very intense, and I've always had the experience with other exes that the karma that it was incurred, it always kind of comes back, but, and I don't know what's gone on with this man. I haven't really hung out with him in a year and a half, so I don't know. But I had always hoped, oh, well, something will probably happen that causes him to have to at least experience some sort of, I don't know. I wanted justice.
But you
but
know
I
what?
I no longer care.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. That's the major thing.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what happened. I finally was able to just make peace and say, you know what? He can do what he needs to do. He's got his own path. And I have to acknowledge that and let that be. And I do get the sense that this is the woman he's going to end up marrying. I can feel it. So,
okay. And
I swallowed the pill.
and most people will go through, even for a minute, this feeling of like, God, I hope his relationship doesn't work out, you know?
Yeah.
we're not proud of that. But my sense is that we should admit those things and bring them out so that they don't stink up our vibrational radiance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean just bring them out of yourself so that they're not festering at some
deep
level.
Am I right, though, in my assessment? Oh.
Are you right?
I was just going to say, in my assessment that this is the woman he's probably going to marry and that's
going
to be his life.
Yeah. And there's another thing that I'm not agreeing with you with, which is that he himself went through a kind of a pain that was different than yours because his, you called it karma, you know, we keep hearing we can step out of karma. But his karma, if you will, or the reactions that he's had in him were very different than yours. And he didn't have the same kind of pain as you, but he had quite a bit of self-awareness, self-reflection that came up. So we can say he didn't have to pay like I did, and I'm saying, but he had a different path than you. And it's very helpful for us to realize that and give that over, you know? Do you know what I mean? Don't deny anything because Lee and I aren't agreeing on this yet, but we'll have to have another discussion about it. But my feeling is that we all have those goofy, awful feelings, and they're horrible, and the faster we bring them up,
Yeah, the quicker I'll move through it because I needed to get through it. I'm like, whoa, I didn't know that was in there. But I get that sense because it's the perfect woman for him. It seems more like him, so it makes sense to me.
Yeah, okay. But that doesn't mean that you don't have the right to have grueling, painful feelings, but I think they move a lot faster when you're just really honest about them.
Yeah.
You know? We're not honest about them so that we get to be mean. You know that. We're honest so that we get not to be radiating in a mean way. You know, we all know people who do.
Yeah.
Right?
But the real question that I called is because I have been going out on a lot of auditions. In fact, I had two pretty good callbacks today, and I just need to know, am I going to book one of these jobs? Or, and if not, what is going to happen? Because I'm in the place right now where I need for something to happen.
Yes, you've got the third, were there four of them?
Oh, I've been on a lot, but today I only went on two.
But you've had, because I here's what I got. Four, the third one, you book. And I think things are going to, and I thought this for a long time, but I think things are going to just start opening up for you. And I want to say this, it might be because your ex-partner left. You might be freer.
Yeah, I know. Once that happened, I was like, there's no more bumping into them. There's no more, you know, anxiousness at the grocery store. It's like, it's done.
Thank you, God. So you're going to be on your way shortly. So it's like you turn around. I think I saw this last time you called in. You sort of turn around in a semicircle and start to function quite differently, and you have a lot more opportunity coming. And I have Tim, I think it is, or Kim, on another line, so I better take the next call.
Oh, okay.
Take care of yourself, and thanks for calling.
You too.
Clear that fear. Clear it of the bad feelings. Get them up and out.
Yes, they are leaving.
Good girl. I see them gone.
Yes. Thanks again.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Kim. How are you?
Good. How are you, Veronica?
I'm really good, actually. I'm quite happy.
Good.
Are you?
Yay,
what's going on in your world over there? Where are you, in South Carolina?
No, Louisiana.
Close but no cigar, right?
I'm wondering how you're doing in L.A., protecting, like, moving from a real rural place to a real urban place.
I know. Isn't it crazy?
Yeah. I mean, it's wonderful, though.
I always kind of follow my path, and I've done some strange moves. So either I'm a Fruit Loop or I'm really doing well, but I'm happy. So there.
Yeah, that's the most important part.
Yeah, and one of the most important things to me is that I'm out of the rainy climate. So,
Of
course, I'm into drought season. But anyway, I'm happy here, and I have clients here, and I have all kinds of creative friends here, and that's what I need right now, and it may not last forever, but I'm really loving it.
Oh, it sounds wonderful.
Yeah. What about your life, darling?
Well, I wanted to call and talk about Bhagwan, actually, oneness.
Okay.
I couldn't find it. I was looking for the channel, and last night, two nights ago, whatever, I ended up listening to a darshan, and he does them on Skype all the time. And two things interesting, and both of them were really short, like under a half hour. Mm-hmm. One was to Hong Kong, one was to Italy. The Italy one, he said that he had been guided to hold this information to 2014, but that he needed them to understand that there's no creator gods outside of oneness. So you are your divine. You are oneness. Does not believe in any creator gods outside of oneness. You are your creator god. Basically, that's what he said. And I kind of already knew that, but I was really interested in it. And in the same talk, he did announce or confirm the announcement of his retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So he and Amma are going to retire next year, which is really interesting. And then in the Hong Kong thing, what he said, and I want to tie this real fast with something else, was that somebody was looking for their, like, they wanted their physical divine to be their physical spouse partner in their life physically, and they wanted to manifest their physical divine. And he said that millions of people already around the world are living like that, that they're living physically with their divine as their spouse, as their partner, which I think is really, really interesting, you know. Because
so you mean, does that mean that they will be living how we would see it as alone, but inside they're married to their other...
Oh, no, Veronica. I understood. No, I understood his answer to mean the opposite, that he was saying physically, these people had either manifested physical beings that were actually their own divine manifest, or that's who their partner was, physically. And so this is really interesting, because I kind of rediscovered the Pleiadians through paradigm shifters, because I got interested in Bashar and then went back into other people, right? So I was listening to Julian Wells do Pleiadian stuff today on a replay of something. And what he said was, it's not really like twin flames. It's more like having a spiritual doppelganger in front of you, and literally you manifest this person who you think is really a person who isn't you, but who really is you. And this person who is you, this being that's in front of you externally, this partner that you bring into your life, literally, he said twin flame isn't a good word. He said more like spiritual doppelganger, and it's you.
Well, I don't know what doppelganger means.
Oh, doppelganger is German, like the German folklore is that everybody has a doppelganger. So everybody has an identical, it's sort of like a folklore myth kind of thing.
Oh, I see, I see. Because I was going to say, well, you know what, that makes me think of the fact that we have, there's more than one presentation from our own soul. So what he's saying is aspects of ourself that would actually manifest in a completing fashion in the physical, eh?
Absolutely. And then that goes back to Matt Kahn did something called Love Revolution. It's on YouTube. It's got 60,000, 70,000 hits. And he talks about in the very beginning about the creation of reality and stuff. You might want to catch it. But what I was going to say is that ultimately it might not be very important because it seems to have left my tongue.
Either that or it's really important. It's overwhelming.
Doppelgangers. The doppelgangers. Shoot. It was a response to what you had just said, but now I can't even remember the line that you
said. So they're beings that, like I have.
Oh, okay. This is it.
Okay.
Okay. So you. I have had multi-dimensional experiences, okay? And you can call them dreams, you can call them visions, whatever you want to call them. But I have. And I have not physically, but I have cognitively recognized that my being is in four different places. And, like, I was experiencing a past life, I was experiencing an astral life, I was experiencing a physical room here, you know, and then there's something else, okay? Another, like, meditation space. So I was doing all that. At the same time, I kind of zoomed in, right? And I experienced myself kind of as somebody who was disabled, right? And I thought, okay, and she was like kind of struggling, and I thought, okay, well, I can do this. I can help her. I can heal her, and I can get out in and out of there really fast. And I said, here, just do this, whatever. And she shook her head, and she looked at me really puzzled, and she said, what would the fun in that be?
That's funny.
Don't you think it's kind of funny?
It is funny. It's hilarious. But let me just
because I saw her as injured and sad and disabled and not being able to get it. You know what I mean? I thought, okay, I can fix this. She's an aspect of me. She's out there. I can take care of all of her problems in a couple little swishes. You know, and she just looked at me like I was insane, and she said, what would the fun in that be? And she wasn't disapproving of me, but it was a shocker. I was like, okay, well, I better leave her alone.
But isn't it interesting, because when, do you remember Betty Eady's book, Embraced by the Light? Remember, it was way back, a near-death experience book.
Yeah, I did
book.
Read it. I did.
Way back.
I don't remember.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the thing I'll never forget about that book is, maybe I will forget it. Right now, I think I'll never forget it, which is that there was a really high being and a very, very shining being on the other side. And he was so excited because he was coming into the body of a multiply disabled person. And he was very excited about having that opportunity. And they were all celebrating as he took off to be this person. And so I'm going, yeah, because we don't have the measurements. We don't have the ability to know. Like, there's some really amazing, powerful spirits in some of the worst situations. Some of them seem dark as well, you know, right?
Yeah, and it's really hard to explain to someone who's not into spirituality, who isn't into this stuff, how that makes that's kind of that experiential thing. It's kind of a cosmic gift. You know, that there is this thing, that there is a lesson to be learned, and on the other side, we're really fighting to get into these bodies and experience this stuff, where when we're in it, it's like, ick, what are we doing?
Like, whose idea was this?
Exactly. And you're like, oh, it was mine?
The other thing I was thinking is that, you know, we've been talking about how, and my guides are really clear about this, it's time for us to intend to do what it takes to step out of the edicts of karma, because we have the vibrations now, we have the vibrations coming in from the universe and from the planet. So it's very possible, and we are awake enough, at least some are awake enough, to literally do that. And then I'm going, well, then there's something about the journey of the soul. Okay, so this guy who's coming in to get the disabled experience is really accruing a lot of learning and wisdom. And that, I guess, is not called karma. It's evolution. It's development, isn't it?
Yeah, all his experience, human beings are creator beings, ultimately. I think that's all true. I agree with you on that. The whole idea of karma, two things. The Palladians, I think, and Bhagwan, yeah, it's an illusion. It has to be transcended. It's not really real the way humans traditionally think about karma. And it's one layer of understanding, but ultimately it's an illusion. Ultimately, we're getting out of it. Yeah, everybody.
Well, wait. I want to say one thing before I lose this thought, because it's relevant to what you're saying, even though it might seem a bit like a shift. The whole thing about twin souls and about soulmates got very, very distorted by our dreams and expectations when we started to really gobble those words. We misinterpreted what that would mean, right? And I really feel like there's a bit of a trap on all of this conversation as well, as misinterpreting what it could mean, and whether, you know what I mean, how we really got deceived or duped by that whole thing.
But maybe it means all of it, Veronica. This multiple kind of universe theory, you know, the whole thing about Dolores Cannon was getting information as early as 2004 or 5 that it wasn't every single major issue that split into multiple universes, but it was every single minute detail. Like, if you had one teaspoon of sugar versus two, or black or white coffee or whatever.
But the thing is, when we were learning about soulmates way back when, we didn't have that wasn't a really available kind of information for us. So most of us did, you know, I doubted the soulmate thing, but we didn't have this thing that everything had split into millions of universes. And so soulmate could have a really textured, it could be a very different thing from one person to the other. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Veronica, my dad's been gone 6 years, and my mom's in her mid-70s. Her new boyfriend is almost 80, and they are so happy. They're like kids.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Isn't that fun?
It is just wonderful, and you like him for her.
Yeah, I really do.
Isn't that enticing?
It's interesting. It is interesting.
I love that. Well, thank you for your call, honey. Did you find any fear in you? Did you listen to that part of the show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've been listening from the beginning. Yeah, I got mine, you know, up and running around there, and felt it in my solar plexus, and then move into my chest and my throat. Yeah, it helped. Thank you so much.
And thank you for that information about Matt Kahn. I'm definitely going to watch. I tried to, but I couldn't get the pictures up on my computer last night. But I was looking.
Yeah, The Love Revolution. The Love Revolution, the first 5 minutes is incredible.
Okay, you got it. I'm going to do that. Well, I thank you for your call. It's always wonderful to hear from you, for many of you, actually. So we need another caller or two before we give up.
Thank you so much, Veronica. Have a blessed night.
You too. Thanks, Kim. One of the things I was thinking, you know, I've moved down from Bellingham wetlands to L.A., which is in the California drought. And for Paradigm Shifters, I ran the Peter Calhoun rerun of that interview that we did last May. And one of the reasons I chose it is Peter Calhoun was, he passed last July. But in any case, he was a wonderful being. And he had had a sort of broken open and really understood the power of being human. Most of us don't really have access to the power that we are because our consciousness hasn't led us yet, but we're going to get there. Anyway, one of the things he was really big on was bringing rain in when people needed it. So I thought, just for fun, why don't we all do a meditation and see if we can bring rain in? Let's focus on California right now, but it can be anywhere that needs rain. You know what I mean? But I think it might help if we're all going to focus somewhere, to focus on one area, just to keep it a very intense prayer. But as he said, and a lot of us know this, right? He said, you can create the weather. You can have rapport between universal consciousness and the earth and yourself. You can reach out and become very, very powerful. And I thought, well, let's play with that, okay? Let's not take it too seriously. You don't want to squeeze your brain, you know, because that doesn't work. So let's call in the presence. I love to work with the presence. Let's call, each of us, call in your higher self. Call in your divinity, as Bhagavan talks about. Your inner divinity, your divine selves, the presence. I like to call it the presence. Yeah, let's each of us do that. And then in having this multi-conscious awareness of yourself, I want you to reach forward with your mind's eye and make contact with the elementals, especially the water, the elementals of water. That's right. And let's see if we can communicate with them. However you do it. Good. And then we're going to ask them for help as we ask them to release the drought in California. We start with California. Release the drought in California area. Release the drought. Bring on rain. And imagine seeing those clouds storming. Some of the weather patterns have been interfered with. But you and I know that we do have power. We can bring forward other elemental supports to rebalance what's been missing. So one more time, we're going to make connection with your inner presence, your higher self. Good. And the elements of water. And how they have the ability to connect and balance. And then we're going to call in wonderful healing rain for the planet and for all the people and the animals. That's it. All right, so I just thought we would try that. And I'm hoping that, well, I seem to see a lot of spirit beings, so maybe Peter Calhoun is helping us. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying Alexis on the show on Tuesday night. And for those of you who have been regular listeners to Paradigm Shifters, you remember Galexis is channeled beings through Ginger Matro. And Galexis is not at all afraid to talk about the physical problems on this planet. So I said, I want to talk about the Middle East. I want to talk about these huge religious crises and that sort of thing, and help us to empower ourselves to bring peace and so on. But the peace has to start inside of ourselves. So let's see what we can do about it. So I'm so looking forward to having a wonderful chat with Galexis. So tune in on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock and then follow it up with the podcast, which could be coming up Wednesday or Thursday. Sometimes it takes a little longer these days. And I say thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. Many, many blessings to all of you, and much love and good night.